Children, The ABCs of Money. Bev and I met the Hitchcock family at the park. As we watched their children play, Gene expressed a concern. Alan and I just weren't trained by our parents to handle money well, and I'm afraid we're not doing a much better job. Our children just don't understand the value of money. What should we do? You know, this is a question that every parent needs to answer. In 1904, the country of Wales experienced a remarkable revival. Thousands of people were introduced to Christ, and the results were dramatic. Bars closed because of a lack of business. Policemen exchanged their weapons for white gloves as crime all but disappeared. Horses didn't even understand their drivers because profanities were no longer uttered. And Wales sent missionaries all over the world. One of those missionaries traveled to Argentina, where on the streets he led a young boy to Christ. The young boy's name is Luis Palau. He has since become known as the Billy Graham of Latin America. Well, out of gratitude for this Welsh missionary, Palau traveled to Wales during the early 1970s to express his thankfulness to that nation for helping lead him to Christ. What he discovered was astonishing. Less than 0.5% of the Welsh even attended church. Divorce, well, it was at an all-time high, and crime was escalating. Many churches had closed and had been converted to bars. Rugby had replaced Christianity as the national religion. As a result of the experience, Palau produced a film titled God Has No Grandchildren. And the thrust of the film is that each generation is responsible for passing on the faith to the next. I mean, think about it. In Wales, despite tremendous spiritual vitality, the impact of Christianity had all but disappeared in 70 years. Parents had failed to pass on their faith to their children. Each generation is responsible for passing on to its children the gospel and the truths of the Bible, including God's way of handling money. Answer this question. When you left home, just how well prepared were you to make financial decisions? Parents and teachers spend 18 to 22 years preparing youth for occupations, but generally less than a few hours teaching children the value and use of money they'll earn during their careers. Parents should be MVP parents. MVP is an acronym that describes the three methods to teach children God's way of handling money: modeling, verbal communication, and practical opportunities. And all three are needed to train your children. Let's take a look at each. Since children soak up parental attitudes towards money like a sponge soaks up water, parents must model handling money wisely. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul recognized the importance of example when he said, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." And Luke 6:40 is a tremendously challenging passage. Here's what it says. "Everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be just like his teacher." Another way of saying this is that we can teach what we believe, but we really only reproduce who we are. There's no substitute for parents being good models. The V in MVP stands for verbal communication. Parents need to tell their children why they're handling the money the way they are. In Deuteronomy 6, starting at verse 6, the Lord charged the Israelites, "And these words, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, we must verbally instruct our children in the way of the Lord. But children need more than mere verbal instruction. They also need a practical experience. That's the P in MVP. Children need to be given opportunities to apply what they've seen and they've heard. So as soon as children are ready for school, they should begin to receive an income to manage. Now, parents need to decide whether the children must earn an income or if they wish to give an allowance in return for children doing the chores. The amount of the income will vary according to such factors as the child's age and ability to earn. However, the amount isn't as important as the responsibility of handling money. Now, at first, it's going to be a new experience and the child will make many mistakes. Don't hesitate to let the law of natural consequences run its course. You're going to be tempted to help little Johnny when he spends all the income the first day on unwise purchases. You won't like the fact that he has to live the rest of the week without the other things he wants and maybe even needs. But listen to me. Don't bail him out. His mistakes are going to be his best teacher. Parents should establish boundaries, offer advice on how to spend money, but your child must have the freedom of choice. Excessive restrictions will only reduce opportunities to learn by experience. And I've learned the first few pennies and nickels will make a lasting impression. Every Saturday morning, I used to bicycle to the store with my son Matthew to buy him a pack of his favorite gum. Despite my advice, that entire pack would be consumed the very first day. But when Matthew started to receive an income, we decided that he had to buy his own gum. And I'll never forget that pained expression on his face as he came out of the store with his very first purchase. He said, "Daddy, this gum cost me all my money." And that pack was rationed with tender care and lasted more than a week. Parents should slowly increase the income as children grow and in their ability and demonstrate wise spending patterns. Now, when children begin to receive an income, teach them how to budget. And I suggest beginning with a very simple system consisting of three jars, each labeled by category: give, save, and spend. The child distributes a portion of her income into each jar. Thus, a simple budget is established using visual control. When the jar is empty, well, there's no money to spend. Even a six-year-old can understand this. By the time children are about 12, they're old enough to be exposed to the family budget. They'll understand that they're growing up because they can now share in making plans for spending the family income. They'll realize that each member has a responsibility for wise spending, regardless of who provides the income. And as children mature, they should participate in every aspect of the family budget. Well, at first, a child may think that the family has so much money that it's, well, impossible to spend it all. And to help her visualize the budget, have the family income converted to a stack of $1 bills. Place these on the table and divide the income pile into the various expense piles. You know, it's often very difficult for children to grasp numbers because they're abstract, but those dollars will be a tangible way for a child to understand the family budget. Now, during budget training, teach your child to become a wise consumer. Teach shopping skills, the ability to distinguish needs from wants, and the fine art of waiting on the Lord to provide. Warn the child about the powerful influences of advertising and the danger of impulse spending. Now, when a child becomes a teenager, discontinue the allowance unless he presents a budget that accounts for how he spent last week's allowance. Now, the best time to establish the habit of giving is when you're young. And it's very helpful for children to give a portion of their gifts to a need they can actually see. For example, a child can understand the impact of his gift when his contribution is helping to construct the new church building or when it's buying food for a needy family that he knows. Dr. Richard Halverson, the former chaplain of the U.S. Senate, gave his son Chris this rich heritage as a child. Through a ministry that serves poor children, Chris and his brother gave money to support a Korean orphan named Kim who lost his sight during the Korean War. Chris was taught to feel that Kim was his adopted brother, so Chris bought Kim a harmonica. And it was Kim's first possession. He had cherished this gift from Chris, and he learned to play it well. Interestingly, today Kim is an evangelist, and in his presentation of the gospel, he includes playing the harmonica. By being trained to give, Chris experienced firsthand the value of meeting people's needs and seeing God change lives as a result of faithful giving. Now, when your child is a teenager, a family or church mission trip to a developing country can be a powerful experience. Exposure to abject poverty can initiate a lifetime of giving to the needy. We also recommend a family time every week for dedicating the week's gifts to the Lord. it's really important for the children to participate in this time. The more involved children are with their parents in giving, the more likely they'll be generous givers themselves as adults. Also, the habit of saving should be established as soon as the child receives an income. It's really helpful to open a savings account for your child at this time. And as the child matures, you should expose him to various types of investments. Be sure to teach your children the benefits of compounding. If they grasp this concept and become faithful savers, they'll enjoy more financial stability as adults. It's helpful for parents to demonstrate saving by doing this for something that will directly benefit the children. A good example is a family vacation. Use a graph that children can fill in so they can chart the progress of the family savings. Now, children should have both short-term and long-term saving programs. The younger the child, the more important are the short-term goals. I mean, think about it. To a 4-year-old, a week seems like a lifetime to save for a small purchase. She'll not understand about saving for future education or retirement, but it'll get excited about saving for a small toy. Long-term saving for education and the first car should be a requirement later on, and some parents find it very motivating to their child if they match their child's contribution to their long-term savings. It's also really important to teach the cost of money and just how difficult it is to get out of debt. Dick Johnston loaned his son and daughter money to buy bicycles. Dick drew up a credit agreement with a schedule of repayment of the loan. He even included the interest charged. After they successfully went through the long and laborious process of paying off the loan, the family celebrated with a mortgage-burning ceremony. And Dick said his children have appreciated those bikes more than any of their other possessions, and even more importantly, they vowed to avoid debt in the future. Well, because work is also essential in becoming a faithful steward, parents have the responsibility to train each child in the value of work and in proper work habits. I mean, think about it. If a child learns how to work with a great attitude, then she will not only have taken a giant step to become content, but she'll become a valuable commodity in the job market. Good employees are hard to find. So children need to learn the dignity and the habit of work. The very best way for a child to become faithful in work is to establish the habit of daily household chores. For example, my daughter carried out the garbage and washed the dishes. My son cleaned the floors. You know, not too many years ago, most children participated in earning the family's money. However, seldom is that the case today. Many children don't even know how their father or mother earns their income. During a class, a participant said he had asked his father what he did for work, and his father responded, "I make money." And so for a long time, I thought my dad actually made dollar bills. My mother would ask Dad, "How much did you draw this week?" I mean, I thought he was a great artist. You know, an important way to teach the value of work is to expose the child to the parent's job. And if your children can't visit you at work, at least take the time to explain your job to them. For those parents who manage their own businesses, children really should be encouraged to participate. One word of advice. Because most children no longer are with their parents at work, the parents' work habits around the home will be a major modeling influence. If a parent works really hard at the office but then complains about washing the dishes at home, what's being communicated to the children? Examine your work habits at home to make sure that you're properly influencing your children to be godly workers. Now, you should also encourage your child to do extra work at home to earn money. And here's a good rule of thumb. Pay the child a fair wage for the work you would have to hire someone else to do. For example, if your car needs washing and your daughter needs some extra money and wants to wash it, let her. Be happy to pay her rather than the person at the car wash. It's also wise to encourage your children to work for others. A babysitting job, janitorial work, lawn care, or waiting on tables, believe me, they'll be an education. A job gives a child an opportunity to enter into an employee-employer relationship and to earn extra money. Then as your child enters high school, it's a great idea to discontinue allowances during the summer vacation. This will motivate him to earn his own money by holding a summer job. The objective of training your children in the value of work is to build their character. A working child with a good attitude will be a more satisfied individual. She will grow up with more respect for the value of money and what's required to earn it. Well, let's shift gears. I want to speak to fathers. Fathers in our country spend less time with their children than fathers in almost every other nation of the world. Fathers currently spend an average of less than 3 minutes a day communicating with their sons. David and Eli were both godly men who had remarkably productive careers, yet they both lost sons through careless fathering. You know, if children are going to thrive, it'll be because parents place them high on the list of priorities, consistently reserving time and energy for leadership within their homes. So fathers, I plead with you, seize the opportunity to train your children. You are literally influencing generations. You know, it's also very common these days for a single mother to be the head of the household, and I appreciate the enormously heavy demands these mothers face. But if you're one, be encouraged. Some of the most responsible people I've ever met have been raised by godly mothers alone. Now, one of the most valuable lessons you can teach your children is to pray for the Lord's guidance and His provision. The Lord wants to demonstrate that He's actively involved in our lives, and one way He does this is simply by answering our prayers. We often rob ourselves of this opportunity. We just go out and buy things or charge things without prayerfully allowing the Lord to provide them. We really need to be creative in how we can experience the reality of God in our spending, and we need to communicate that value to our children. Now, let's face it. When it comes to money, parents are on a tightrope trying to keep a proper balance. They can easily be too miserly with money, but in our affluent culture, they're more often overindulgent and consequently really hamper the development of their children's character. I mean, how many of us know of a father who once mowed lawns to earn a bicycle and now has a teenage son who drives a sports car? Clearly, overindulgence with money can retard the development of a child's character. It can destroy the need for initiative and motivation. And too often, it creates in a child constant expectation to be given things without having to work or to save for them. One last thought. We need to establish a strategy for independence. Lyle and Marge Nelson have four of the most mature and responsible children I've ever met, and their strategy has been to work towards having the children independently managing all of their finances by the senior year in high school. This way, they could be available to advise the children as they learn to make spending decisions. Well, let's review how MVP parents can train their children. Model financial faithfulness, allowing your children to observe closely how you apply these principles. Then V, verbally communicate God's way of handling money. And by the way, Compass has developed an excellent series of studies that parents can use to help train children. One for teens, one for children ages 8 to 12, and a study for children under 8. The P in MVP is to create practical opportunities for your children to experience what they're learning. Each child has an individual personality. One child may spend wildly, yet be very generous. Another may save everything and yet not want to give. Study your children's personalities carefully and tailor the training to fit the child. Well, as the country of Wales discovered, God has no grandchildren. Passing on our faith in Christ to the next generation can be compared to a relay race. And any track coach will tell you that relay races are often won or lost in the passing of the baton from one runner to another. Seldom is the baton dropped once it's firmly in the grasp of a runner. If it's going to be dropped, it's in the exchange that takes place between the runners. As parents, you and I have the responsibility to pass the baton of practical biblical truths to our children. Well, at times during the training, it may seem as if there's little progress. Nevertheless, be consistent and be persistent. And I pray that our generation will leave our children the the blessed legacy of financial faithfulness.